In light of the recent coronavirus pandemic, we're temporarily unable to hold our public worship services. It's the prayer of our consistory that this word of edification would be a help and an encouragement to God's people in these trying and uncertain times. Let's begin by praying together. Our Father who art in heaven, we confess that thou art the sovereign God. Thou art almighty, and all things are in thy hand, determined by thee from eternity, and governed and directed by thy almighty hand from moment to moment. We know that the present circumstances in our country and in the world are directed by thee. We know, Father, that all that thou dost do is right and wise and good, and thou dost work to the glory of thy name. We confess, Father, that in this too we see thy working of all things to bring about the coming of Jesus Christ. We know that this is part of the signs of the times that must happen as Jesus Christ approaches, and we're thankful for that. We receive that in hope and in longing for his return. We know too, Father, that what thou dost work to humble sinful man as judgment upon this ungodly world for its sin and its rebellion against thee. We thank thee that we've been drawn out of this world as thy people, that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and have salvation in him. We're thankful for the comfort that thou art our refuge, thou art our strength, thou art the help to us in time of trouble. Keep us from fear, keep us from worry and from panic. On account of these circumstances and all of the uncertainties that come with it, strengthen our faith, cause us to trust in thee, to depend upon thee, and to go on forward in the peace that surpasses understanding, knowing that thou dost work all these things for our good. Pray, Father, that thou wilt strengthen the church and us as individual believers to be faithful witnesses in these trying times, that we might be faithful witnesses of thee, and of the work of thy grace in us. Witnesses of the truth that the only true and lasting peace is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, that we have that greatest need met. Our greatest need is not for deliverance from sickness or from suffering, but our greatest need is to be delivered from sin. We thank thee for that work of grace in our lives. We pray that thou wilt make us to be faithful witnesses of that truth as well. Pray for thy people who are kept from public worship on the Sabbath day. We long to tread the hallowed courts in thy house again. We pray, Father, according to thy will, soon we might be brought again as a body of believers to thy house on the Sabbath for public worship. Pray for the rulers in our land, for our president, for governor, and for others in positions of authority, that they might rule wisely in a way that serves the good of thy people in the midst of this world. Pray for those who are sick, for those of thy people who might be directly affected by the sickness in the world today. According to thy will, give healing and strength. Above all, Father, patience in all of our trials to bear up under them as from thy hand and for our good. Pray for our good Christian schools as well, as they're closed for a time. Hold the teachers and their work in giving assistance to the work done in the home. We pray for students who do their work. Give them the grace to do that faithfully from day to day, especially uphold parents and mothers in particular who give help to the children in that way now. Forgive, Father, our sins. Bless thy word to us as we hear that now. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. I'd like to read from Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Text for the message is the first three verses of Psalm 46, which I'll read again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're living presently in very uncertain times. At the beginning of the year 2020, there were brief news reports about a new virus that was found in China. And though that may have caught our attention initially, it wasn't something that directly affected our lives at that time and something we didn't pay much attention to. Over the past few months, that's spread throughout most of the world, so that it's considered today to be a global pandemic. In our own country, there's been talk of quarantine and lockdown and a state of emergency. According to the latest reports, in the world as a whole, there's been more than 10,000 people who have died from this coronavirus. It's brought all kinds of uncertainty in our lives. There's uncertainty about how seriously to take this, whether it is something that has to be taken very, very seriously, or if it's something that has been taken too seriously and being overblown, we don't know. There's uncertainty about the continued spread of the virus, how that's going to affect our day-to-day lives. There's uncertainty about the future of the quarantines and lockdowns and how daily life is going to continue to be affected. There's uncertainty about the economy, uncertainty about schools and the education of our children, uncertainty for the church and worship services on the Sabbath day and other church activities. Tempted to respond in the face of this pandemic and the uncertainties that it brings with fear and worry and panic. But as God's people, we have no reason to fear, and we ought not to worry in the face of this virus and all of the ramifications of it. We have comfort and peace. Comfort and peace in knowing that God is our refuge. We do well at this time to be reminded of a passage like Psalm 46. Psalm 46 is a very well-known psalm to God's people. It's a favorite of many. It's one that we turn to often and in many different times and circumstances for comfort. It's a passage that provides help and encouragement to God's people in all of the troubles of earthly life that God sends upon us. Psalm 46 was such a comfort to the reformer Martin Luther. Luther loved Psalm 46, and whenever he experienced trouble in his life, he'd turn to his family and to his friends, and he'd say, "Come, let's sing the 46th Psalm together." So much did Luther love this psalm that he wrote a well-known hymn on the basis of it, what we call the Battle Hymn of the Reformation, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God." There's lots of speculation about what circumstances prompted Luther to write that hymn, but most seem to agree that he wrote the hymn at a time when a plague was ripping through Germany and the city of Wittenberg, where he lived. There were thousands who were dying in the face of that plague, including some who lived in his own home. And in the face of that sickness, Luther wrote and sang, "A mighty fortress is our God." How fitting in our present circumstances to consider Psalm 46. With all that's going on in the world today, by faith, we confess and we sing, "A mighty fortress is our God." That's the theme of the message that I'd like to consider here. The theme is, "A mighty fortress is our God." First of all, I would like to consider troubled times. Secondly, mighty fortress. And thirdly, fearless faith. A mighty fortress is our God. Troubled times, mighty fortress, fearless faith. The first verse of Psalm 46, we confess that God is our refuge, our strength, our help in time of trouble. That word trouble carries the idea of being pressed and squeezed and contracted, that resulting in a person's way in which they're going being made very narrow, very constricted, very, very difficult. Imagine that you're being held in the hand of another and that you're being squeezed slowly and very, very tightly in their grip so that it feels as if you're being suffocated and you cannot breathe. Or to change the figure, imagine that you're walking in a way, but it's as if there's walls pressing in upon you from every direction, hedging you in, so that the way in which you walk is made to be very, very narrow, constricted, and difficult. That's trouble. To be pressed, to be squeezed, to have your way in life made very narrow and very difficult. In the psalm, what's being referenced is a number of different things. There's reference to great upheaval in the creation, with earthquake and a roaring sea and the crumbling of mountains. There's reference made to the attacks of enemies. Commentators give different explanations for when those attacks may have come against Israel and when this psalm was written. Some say it was written during the days of David. Others think that it fits best during the reign of Jehoshaphat. Others say it best applies to the time of Hezekiah. We simply don't know. But the The fact that we cannot identify one particular historical circumstance means that the psalm has broad application then and applies very, very broadly to any trouble that God's church and individual believers experience. God has ordained and God sends into our lives many troubles. We feel as if God is pressing us, squeezing us, as if we're in the hand of God, pressed so tightly that we feel as if we're suffocating and we can't breathe. Or we feel as if from our own experience God is hedging in our way so that our way is made very narrow and very difficult. There are many troubles, any difficulties that we experience in this life. And certainly the present circumstances going on in the world and in our country today qualify as being trouble. This coronavirus that's spreading through the world is a trouble ordained by God and sent by His hand. It's certainly trouble for those who are directly affected by it, those who are themselves infected with that virus or have loved ones who are, or some, even died from that. Now, in the span of the whole of the population of the world, it's only a narrow little fraction that have actually died from that, but there are thousands who have died from this. That's trouble in their life. But even for many of us who are not directly affected or infected by the virus, it does bring trouble into our lives. There's all kinds of consequences and ramifications in the world today because of this coronavirus. There's talk of a lockdown of society, a quarantine, and we're becoming familiar with a phrase like social distancing. There's travel bans that have been implemented, forbidding much travel to Europe, keeping people from crossing over into the across the border into Canada. Restaurants are closed. Grocery stores are struggling to keep basic necessities of life on the shelf, like milk and bread. Major gatherings, major sporting events have been canceled. Schools and colleges have been shut down, some of them seeking to supplement that with online education. Jobs of some lost or hours at work severely cut because of what's going on. And churches that are unable to gather in public worship on the Sabbath day, and many other church activities that are canceled. Even if we're not directly affected by this virus, we are affected by the ramifications of that, so that our way is constricted and narrow, and we experience trouble. And so easily, we respond that trouble with fear and worry. The trouble does not cause our fear and worry in that it forces us to be filled with fear. The trouble is the occasion, and our response to that trouble is so easily a response of fear. That's acknowledged in the text in verse 2 when it says, "Therefore will not we fear." And though God's people confess that, knowing the comfort of God as our refuge, what's implied there is that that is a temptation for us. We are tempted to respond in fear. Fear is a feeling of anxious dread and terror in the face of some danger. In our common way of speaking, we often speak of fear and worry synonymously, and they're inseparably connected to each other, but There is perhaps a distinction between the fear refers to that sense of dread and terror because of some immediate, real, present danger that we're facing. If, for example, there's a vicious, snarling dog that's attacking us, seeking to bite us, we might feel fear in the face of that immediate, real threat. Worry is a kind of fear. Worry is a fear, a dread, or a terror, though, over some imagined or perceived or future anticipated threat or danger to us. If I fear next week my children becoming infected and becoming sick, or I fear whether I'm going to have enough money in the future to provide for my needs in the coming weeks and days, fear over future imagined and perceived threats and dangers to me is worry. Fear and worry rob us of peace. They fill our hearts and our minds with this unsettled feeling. And that comes out in a striking way in Psalm 46. One of the interesting things about Psalm 46 is the movement throughout from trouble to silence and peace. Later in the psalm, it speaks of the raging of war and the clash of weapons, and then moves to be still and know that I am God. Here at the beginning of the psalm, what's described is an upheaval in God's creation. The earth shaking and the sea roaring and the mountains crumbling. And if the noise of that upheaval in the creation was imitated by an orchestra, it'd be a raging din, the beating of drums and the clanging of cymbals and the blaring of the trumpets, this loud, disquieted noise. And that's the experience of one who's filled with fear and with worry. Their soul is disquieted within them. Fear and worry rob us of peace. There are many in the world today who are responding to the present circumstances with this virus with a tremendous amount of fear. The words that we might use to describe the prevailing feeling in the world is fear, dread, terror, worry, anxiety, panic. It seems as if that panic is even more contagious than the virus itself. That one is filled with panic and that panic spreads to many others so that soon many in the world are filled with such fear and panic. There's worry and there's panic over the uncertainties of the virus itself. Am I going to catch that? Or is a loved one? Are we going to remain healthy or is it going to take our life? Is there going to be a vaccine that's developed quickly enough to combat this virus? There's fear and there's panic with respect to the financial ramifications. What's going to happen with my job or my business? Are my hours going to be cut at work and my paycheck severely cut by the end of the week? What's going to happen to my 401k, to my investments, to the stock market? What's going to happen with the economy as a whole? There's fear and panic over the political ramifications. What does all of this mean for the upcoming presidential election in 2020? What does this mean for our current president? What does it mean for the direction of our country as a whole going forward? There's fear and panic with respect to the education of children? When are the schools going to open again? How is this going to affect my children and their development? There's fear with respect to the church. Is the church soon going to be able to gather again in public worship on the Sabbath day? There's trouble, and the response to that trouble so easily is a response of fear, and worry, and panic. But as God's people, we have no reason to fear, no reason to respond in panic and with worry. That because we have the comfort of the gospel, knowing that God is a mighty fortress to us. We have the comfort knowing that God is our God and our Father, and that He will certainly care for us. There are three things that this first part of Psalm 46 says about God. First of all, it says that God is our refuge. That's a phrase that's often used in the Bible in reference to God. One example of that is in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. A refuge is a fortress. It's a safe shelter. It's a secure dwelling, a place where a person can run in time of trouble and find security and preservation. God is our refuge. God is a fortress to His people, a safe dwelling place. Place where we as God's people are preserved, where we are secure. We have shelter in the darkest nights and the most troubled storms. Secondly, the psalm says God is our strength. Philippians 4, verse 13, puts it this way, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. God is the Almighty and the Sovereign God. And as the Almighty and the Sovereign God, God alone is the source of our strength. He supplies us with strength. Strength to press on in the Christian life. Strength to fight the battle of faith. Strength to bear up under the troubles and the sorrows that He sends upon us. And thirdly, Psalm says that God is a very present help to us. That same idea comes out later in Psalm 46 in verse 5. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. As a help to His people, God has pity and compassion upon us. He's a God of mercy toward us as we are in the midst of trouble and affliction. And as our helper, God not only has compassion upon us, but He provides to us what we stand in need of. Another person might desire to help us in some trouble in our life and have compassion upon us, but not have the ability to provide us with help. That's not God. God not only has mercy upon us and pity and compassion, but He helps us. He provides for us exactly what we stand in need of, and He provides us what we stand in need of exactly when we need that. He never leaves us or forsakes us. God is our refuge and strength. Literally, verse 1 says, God is for us a refuge and strength. God is for us. All that God does is directed for us, for our benefit, for our good, for our advantage, for our salvation, now and everlastingly. God is a refuge, a strength, a help, alone to His chosen people in Jesus Christ. And this truth points us to Jesus Christ. It's especially in the coming of Jesus Christ and His suffering and His death that we see God is for us as His people. God loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love, and in His great love for us, He gave His Son to die for us. Christ died in order to atone for our sins and to redeem us from sin, from the power of death. And it's on that basis that we know and are assured that God is a refuge, a strength, a help to us as His people. And that's what gives us peace and comfort in the midst of this world. The wicked, ungodly world has no peace and no comfort because they don't belong to Jesus Christ. We who belong to Jesus Christ, we have peace and comfort, knowing that in Christ God is our refuge and our strength. Knowing that God is for us, then who or what can be against us to harm us? And if God has given us the greatest gift, His Son, and salvation in Him, will He not then provide us with what else we stand in need of? That's Romans 8. Verses 31 and 32, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God is for us. God is our refuge. Now, in our present circumstances, God is a safe fortress and dwelling place for His people. A refuge is in knowing the almighty power and the sovereignty of our God. That what's taking place in the world around us today is not by chance or by accident, but is sovereignly ordained and directed by the hand of God. Our refuge is in knowing the wise providence of God. That all He does is done in perfect wisdom without any error or mistake. All of it directed to glorify Himself, and all of it for the good of Israel, of His chosen people in Christ. Our refuge is in knowing the loving presence of our Father who loves us, who cares for us, who's merciful and gracious to us in Jesus Christ, and that there's nothing that can separate us from that love. Not sickness, not health, not life or death. God is our refuge. God is our strength. Doesn't mean, of course, that as God's people, we're spared from any sickness and deterioration of our strength and health. It may be God's will that some of His people contract this virus and even die from that, that God uses this to bring some of His children home to heaven. But we do know He'll give us spiritual strength to bear up under whatever trouble He sends into our lives. Our God is our help. He has pity and compassion upon us, and He provides for us exactly what we need, exactly when we need that. There's two important aspects of that truth that are further explained in the passage here, very important aspects of this truth. First of all, what the text shows is that God is the only refuge, help, and strength. Now, that's not stated explicitly in the passage, but it's most certainly implied there when it says God is our refuge and strength, a very present help to us in trouble. What's understood is that He's the only one. God is the only refuge, the only strength, the only help to us in trouble. In the world today, men and women of this world seek after all sorts of other things as their refuge, their security in these troubled times. They take refuge from the virus in a quarantined home, or in the careful washing of their hands and social distancing. They seek strength in what they're able to buy and to hoard from the grocery store shelves. They look for help to the government or to the doctors or the scientists who are developing a vaccine to the virus. That's not to say that God's people may not use those things, but we don't put our trust there. We don't seek those things as the ultimate refuge and strength and help to us, because those things can't provide. They can't preserve. They don't provide us with security and spiritual strength. God alone is our mighty fortress. God alone is our refuge, our strength, our help in time of trouble. The other thing, second thing, that comes out from the passage as well, stated explicitly at the end of verse 1 when it says God is a very present help in trouble. That phrase, a very present help, can be interpreted in one of two ways, both of which are very comforting. One way to interpret that is as the translators of the King James Version did, God's a very present help to us. God is with us always. He never leaves us or forsakes us. He's not absent from us in our time of need and trouble. God is always with us to provide for us in our moment of need what we stand in need of. As is confessed in verse 7 and verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The other way to interpret that phrase is this way. He's a great help that has been proved or tested, or He's been found to be a help to us in trouble. And the idea there is that God is a proven and attested help and refuge to us. He's always been a help to His people. He's been a help to His church in the past, the church in the present, and will certainly be a help to His church in the future. We can say that as individual believers, God has been a proven, tested help to us in the past in our life, throughout all of the circumstances and everything we've experienced before. God has been a help to us. God is a help to us now in our present circumstances. God will certainly continue into the future always to be a help to His people. We have comfort, beautiful comfort and peace. the midst of the troubles of this life and the troubles of our present circumstances, God is to us in Christ refuge, strength, and a very present help in trouble. As those who belong to Jesus Christ, who have God as our refuge and our strength, we go forward from day to day with our faith and our trust in Him. It's an aspect of the passage here as well. The text is not a general and a broad statement of dogmatic truth like this: God is a refuge and a strength to His people. That's certainly true. But the text is a confession, a personal confession of faith by God's church. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in our troubles as God's people. It's a confession of faith. Faith is a gift of God to us in Christ. It's fundamentally that bond that unites us to Christ. And that bond is made active in the child of God. An activity of faith is, first of all, the knowledge of faith, the knowledge that we have of God's Word and all that He's promised us in His Word. And that active faith is also an assured confidence. The confidence and the assurance that this God is my God, that He is to me a refuge and a strength and a help, that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, saved in Him, forgiven of my sins in Him. That assured confidence is a hearty trust in God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our life as Christians is a life of faith, trusting in, depending upon, looking to for all that we need to our God. That's the only proper way to respond in time of trouble. Not to respond in fear and in panic and in worry about the future, but to respond in faith, trusting in our God. Psalm 56, verse 3 says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." When our way seems to be very, very narrow and constricted, we trust in the God who is our refuge. When we feel as if we're being squeezed so that we're suffocating and it feels as if we can hardly breathe, we trust in the God who is our strength. When the way seems dark and it's filled with uncertainties and we don't know where to turn and what the next step will bring, we trust in the God who is our help. That's the beautiful witness that the church gives in these troubled, uncertain times, and the witness of individual believers. We have a refuge. We have a help and a strength. And we won't fear and be filled with panic, because our trust is in Him. Trusting in God, we're delivered from fear. Faith drives out fear. When we're not consciously trusting in God, our own conscious experience is one not of peace, but of that upheaval and that disquiet. Trusting in God, we're delivered from that fear and that panic. That too is confessed in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear? And then in verses 2 and 3, God's people go on to describe that in a striking way. Verses 2 and 3 describe a tremendous upheaval in God's creation. The very foundations of the earth shake with a mighty earthquake. The seas roar and are foaming with the powerful winds and the waves, so much so that the mountains, which seem to be established forever, are crumbling into the midst of the sea. The whole earth and the creation appears to be falling apart. The point there is to describe what, from our point of view, appears to be the worst of the worst. God's people in the psalm had been attacked by their enemies. And now they say, if this would happen, if the worst imaginable thing would come upon us and the whole earth under our feet shakes and everything is falling apart, we still will not fear. We will not fear when there's small troubles that God sends into our lives. We won't fear when the enemies come and attack us. And we won't fear when the worst of the worst comes. We won't fear because we know God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help to us in trouble. That is our confession as God's people today. If the worst of the worst would come, the worst imaginable things, if the foundations of the world and of society would crumble, if this virus is truly a global pandemic that spreads throughout the world and kills thousands, even millions. If the economy collapses and we enter into a great depression, if politically the world and our own nation is shaken to its foundations and there's chaos in society, still, we will not fear. We will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength. We have peace. Come what may, we have peace. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Comes out in the text, in that last word, Selah. Selah was a musical notation and was intended to mark a break, a pause, and a time to reflect upon what had just been sung or what had just been confessed. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then the description of this upheaval and this noise in the creation. And then, Selah, pause. Take a breath. Meditate. There's peace there. We have a breath as God's people. When we're being pressed to the point of suffocating, there's silence when there's noise all around. There's peace in the midst of panic. We have peace, beautiful, unspeakable peace, because we have God as our refuge and our strength. Do not fear. Do not be filled with panic and worry. Trust in God. Be assured that God is and will continue to be very present help to us in trouble. Mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, never failing, our helper He amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thy word is truth. Thy word is a comfort. Thy word gives peace to us in Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for that word. We thank Thee for what Thou hast done for us in Jesus Christ, for redemption and salvation in Him. We're thankful, Father, to dwell under the protection of Thy overshadowing arms, to have Thee as our refuge in the storms of this earthly life. Continue, Father, to uphold, to comfort, and to encourage Thy people. Forgive us of our sins. Keep us, Father, from sinful fear and panic. Give to us peace, the peace that surpasses understanding. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.